Today we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1, and Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter today. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be looking at the last two verses, but I'd like us to read from 19 to the end of the chapter if we could. 19 to the end of the chapter, because they're all tied in, and basically, It's Paul again exalting the supremacy of Christ. We've seen in our Colossians study how Paul is continuously focusing the Colossian believers upon Christ and His supremacy, because the false teachers had come in and were mentioning that it was Christ plus something else. And this is always what happens, no matter what flavor false religion it is, they always like to add the but. It's Christ, but, and well, there isn't any but. It's Christ alone, period. It's all in Him. It's all what He's done. And this is what we believe. This is what preachers and believers in the past have believed, that salvation is of the Lord. And that's what Scripture declares, and that's what we believe. That's what we believe. So today we're finish up, Lord willing, this chapter. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Now this verse right here proclaims God's mighty power right before us. And when we looked at this, there's different Greek words that are used for the word power here. But it speaks of His greatness, and it speaks of His majesty, it speaks of His power, it speaks of His supremacy. And it leads right unto our next verse, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Now that same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ raised us from our spiritual state of deadness. That same power. That same power. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no hope. We had no ability. Hopeless, helpless, sinners. But by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we have been raised from the dead, regenerated, born again. You must be born again. You must be. And think of this. If you're struggling with sin, and we often do, don't we? We often do. If you're struggling with sin, cry out to Christ who has all power. And let us remember that it's God's power. That it's God's power who raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at the right hand. At His right hand. And this power works in you who believe. This power will deliver you. So this is why we must cry out to Christ. He has all power. He has all power. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Scripture says, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, which we looked at, donates a place of power and majesty. He has all power. All majesty. He's King. He's King. And this is the believer's God. This is the believer's Savior. This is the believer's Redeemer. And so like I say, when we do struggle with sin, and we will, because we're sinners. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about just about how much we sin as believers and how we struggle with it. But the believer is a saved sinner. A saved sinner. The reason we struggle with sin is because now we know what it is. Think back before the Lord saved you. Did you struggle with sin? I didn't. It didn't even bother me. Now I hate it. Is it so with you? Well, we have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, within us. We need to cry out to Christ and pray that He give us grace and strength to overcome sin in our lives. So Christ is seated on the right hand of the throne above. He's the God-man, the mediator. He's at the right hand, and it donates a place of power and majesty. And look at the next verse. Far above all principality and power. He's so far above everything. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Right? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Again, here we see Christ's supremacy. Now we see Christ's supremacy over all things. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We see Christ's supremacy over all things, and we can tie this in with our study in Colossians, where we've seen Paul continuously exalting the supremacy of Christ. And in I'll read Ephesians 1:22. It says, "And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Now, Colossians 1:16-19. Look at this: "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." So Christ is the Creator. He's God. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He created all things, and they were all created for him. For him. For his glory. To magnify his glory. To magnify his majesty. To magnify his supremacy. And look at, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Even the agnostics and even the people who curse him, the only reason they have breath to breathe is because God gives them breath to breathe. What mercy. By him all things consist. And look, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why? That in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ must have the preeminence. Must. That's why we grace preachers continuously say, don't look to us. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Look to the one who's our Savior. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, just like everyone else who believes. Look to Christ. Look to the one who can save sinners. Look to him. And he must have the preeminence. He must. And look at, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we'll remember that verse as we continue down our little journey here in Ephesians chapter 1. But let's go back to Ephesians 1:22. And let us remember that Paul was constantly battling works-based religion. He was constantly battling works-based religion. Look at it, and he says, let's go back to 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over the things, over all things to the church. Now we saw in Colossians that he's the head of the body of the church. Very similar verbiage to what Paul penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, now, Paul is continuously battling works-based religions in the epistles. He's writing the epistles while he writes Timothy for instruction, but most of the epistles are written because he's combating errors, different errors that have sprung up within the church. And think of this. I was thinking about this week. He's combating these errors, right? It's only been 60 years since the Lord rose from the grave. And already these errors have crept in. These false teachers have come already. And not much has changed, eh? Because we battle works-based religions in our day. We trumpet the free grace of God in Christ as opposed to works. We say that salvation's in Christ alone plus nothing. As opposed to works-based religion that says salvation's in Christ, but you got to be baptized, or you got to belong to a certain church, or you got to have a checklist that you got to follow. No. Salvation's in Christ alone plus nothing. Nothing. So we still today even battle works-based systems, and we trumpet the free grace of God in Christ. And folks follow those false preachers to the perishing of their eternal souls. Look at verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over... Or 22, yeah. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now when we tie this in with the verse preceding, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. When we tie this into the preceding verse, it tells us that Christ has all power, doesn't it? He didn't have no rivals. See, men shake their fist and think that they're something. The Lord Jesus Christ was and still is God. God became a man. And He still remained God, but yet a man. And He went to Calvary's cross and redeemed His people from their sins. He is the name that is far above all names. He's far above all principalities and powers. And let us think of this. We see unrest in our world, don't we? Especially some of the tragedy that played out this week. We see unrest. But let us draw solace. Let us draw comfort, knowing that our King is upon the throne right now. He reigns supreme. He reigns supreme. And all things are working out according to His will. The Lord Jesus Christ is supreme. He has all power. Look at him. Hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. He has all authority and all power. And then put your finger in John 17, if you could. Matthew 28. In John 17. And like I say, in this world of unrest that we live in, it is comforting for the believer to know that Christ has all power and that Christ reigns and rules right now. Right now. I remember when I was in religion, they were saying, well, he's waiting to come back and rule. No, he's not waiting. The scripture we looked at said he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. That denotes power, majesty, supremacy. He has all power, beloved. Look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now look at that, beloved. In heaven and earth. That means nowhere. There's nowhere that His power does not reign supreme. Nowhere. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am, look at this. Okay, the one who has all power in verse 18, right? In heaven and earth, look what he says. What comfort for us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Oh, there's a well. There's a well where we can draw comforting cups of water when we're thirsty, eh? The Lord will never leave His people. Never. And He has all power. He has no rivals, as I said. He's God Almighty. God Almighty in the flesh. And now He's returned back to heaven in triumph. In triumph. Look at John 17, verses 2 to 5. Oh, he's a conquering king. He conquered princes and principalities and made an open show of them at the cross. Look at John 17, verses 2 to 5. As thou hast given him, speaking of Christ, this is his high priestly prayer, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now look at that. Christ gives eternal life to his people. And we're going to look at this morning, later on. You know, he's the fountain of living waters. He's not up there wringing His hands. This doesn't sound like a God who's up there wringing His hands, does it? No. No. Look at our text. And if you're saved, let this just ring in your ears, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. If you're saved, He's given you eternal life because you were given to Him of the Father. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. What was that work? To perfectly fulfill the law of God, to redeem all the elect of all the ages from all their sins. Right? He's going to go to the cross and die. He's lived that perfect life. He's lived that perfect life. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, He's weaved the robe, the perfect robe of righteousness that His people will be clothed in. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Triumphant King, return to glory. Triumphant King, return to glory. All things are under Christ, including the church. And think of this, too. Think of verse 22, and hath put all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things to the church, right? This verse tells us that Christ is supreme, that He's Lord and ruler over all things, that He is a mighty and an awesome God. And it also destroys the false teaching, as I mentioned a few minutes earlier. It destroys the false teaching of Jesus has done all that He can do, now the rest is up to you. Doesn't this verse just destroy that? Because if He has all power, if He's over all things, right, we saw in heaven and earth, then these guys are lying to people. When they say, Jesus has done all He can do, now the rest is up to you. Well, that means then that man's sovereign, according to these false preachers. Man's not sovereign. God's sovereign. And He gives eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. And we rejoice. Because we who believe, we who are saved. Now, do we flee to Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. When you were saved, sister, you fled to Christ, right? Because you're made willing. And that's what happens. We flee to Christ. We're made willing. And we run. And it's all by His power. And that's why we want to give Him all the glory. And that's why we want to give Him all the praise. Because we know, left to ourselves, we still would have been where we were. But for the mercy and kindness of God. And look it up, verse 3. Christ is the supreme head of the church, and He rules for our good, and He performs all offices for our salvation, and He communicates all good things to us. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You could park at that verse right there. All spiritual blessings. All of them. Justification, sanctification, everything that we've looked at in this whole chapter. Redemption. Everything. It's all in Christ. And if we tie that in with John 17, 2 and 3, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, then He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent, right? And then if we tie that in with verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ. There is salvation nowhere. I was talking to a guy last week. Roy and I were out talking in the parking lot after church. And it got a little late, and we were just jazzing away. And somebody who visits here often come over, and we were talking. And he said, well, you know, of course the conversation came up about the Lord. And he asked me, he said, well, you mean to tell me that all those other people are lost? And I said, yeah. I said, anyone trusting in Buddha, they're lost. Catholics trusting in Mary and all this, they're all lost. Muslims are all lost. We started talking about this, and he said, are you kidding me? You mean they're all lost? And I said, look at the sign out there. And we happen to be on the side here. I said, look at the sign. Look at what our King said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know that Scripture goes on to say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the one. He's the one who has all power. He's the only Savior. It's not Jesus plus my works. It's Jesus Christ alone. He has all power. He has the power to save. And He is pleased to to save as many as the Father has given him. So let's look at our next verse, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we'll tie it in with the verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He is the head, and we are the body. The head controls all things. The head controls all things. We can lose limbs and live, but you can't lose your head and live. Adam was our federal head, right? And we all fell in him. Every one of us. We're made alive in Christ, who is the second Adam. We're made alive. We have a new head. And that's God. That's God in Christ, which is his body, though, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul is writing the words, and by the body here he's speaking to the church, universal. All the elect of all the ages who make up the body of Christ. And all the elect are the body of Christ. We're one with him. Think of this. Our heads are united with our bodies, right? He's the head. Believers are the body. United. United in him. United in Christ. United. We may come from different nationalities, different tongues, different countries, but all the elect of God make up the body of Christ, and we're one in him. One. In Christ. It's incredible when you think about it. It's incredible. And then it goes on, which is his body, the fullness of him. We are his fullness. He is our mediator. The Lord Jesus Christ must have all the members of the body for the fullness of his body. And his satisfaction, he must gather in all his sheep, and he will. He will save all that the Father hath given him. He will. And he has all power to do that, right? All power. Let us remember this. There cannot be a redeemer without the redeemed. Let us remember this. There cannot be a shepherd without sheep. Let us remember this. There cannot be a head without a body. And let us remember this. There cannot be a bridegroom without a bride. And God's people are the bride of Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Our text continues, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We have all fullness in Christ our King. All fullness. Now, as I said, we've went through a week of turmoil in our country, right? And things that have went on. And we live in a world of turmoil. It just keeps coming, doesn't it? It doesn't stop because we know it's because of sin. That's the bottom line. It's not color. It's not. It's sin. It's because of sin. It's because we're a world full of sinners. That's the real root of the problem. But in Christ, let this be comforting for us as believers. Let this be comforting for us because we see everything going on, and let this be comforting. We have all fullness in Christ our King. And this is a place we can rest as believers. We have the fullness of redemption. The fullness of redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ has fully redeemed all his people. Fully. When he died on the cross, he paid every single thing that was demanded of God for my sins, and for, if you're one of his people, for your sins, and for the sins of all the elect of all the ages. This is a full redemption. A full redemption. The fullness of redemption. And then think of this, the fullness of our King. Now we've looked at today, that He has all power, right? That He's supreme. That He rules and reigns. So think of the fullness we have in Christ our King. Think of this. We're sinners. We live in a world full of sinners. Right? Think of this for we who believe. The fullness of the pardon we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. The fullness of the pardon. The fullness of it. It is a full pardon. Of some of our sins? No, beloved. Of all of our sins. All. And folks, you know, you're going to run into people who will say, well, how can you say that all your future sins are forgiven? Just remember, all our sins were future at Calvary's cross. Every single one of them. And Christ paid for them all, didn't He? Now, it doesn't mean we're going to run out and go crazy, and doesn't mean that. But all our sins, the fullness of the pardon which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, He's forgiven us for all our sins. The believer is redeemed and purchased and ransomed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the fullness we have, what fullness we have in our King. Think of this too, the fullness of grace. Grace to cover all my sins. All. And it's grace that's freely given. Freely. Flows out of the free and sovereign mercy of God in Christ. Think of this, the fullness of righteousness. The fullness of the righteousness of Christ. The believer who's a sinner by birth, nature, and choice is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The fullness of the righteousness which the believer has in Christ. Oh, what fullness in Christ our King. The fullness of sanctification, set apart, made holy. Made holy. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then the fullness of heaven. One day we will be in heaven. The fullness of eternity in heaven. One day, the believer will be in the presence of He who has redeemed us from all our sins. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Oh, the fullness of Christ our King. May we glorify and praise His mighty name.